The word today is found in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. St. John, chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. You have it when you say amen. John's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 1, reads thusly. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must need go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever shall drink of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of living springing of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered unto him, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast said well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saith thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Amen. Living water for a thirsty soul. Living water for a thirsty soul. Jesus is on his way from Judea to Galilee. And in order to get to Galilee, he decides to go through Samaria, which is an unusual route for a Jew to go through Samaria, because the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were considered to be unclean. They were considered to be people less than the Jews. They were half-breeds. They were Jews that decided to marry amongst foreigners. They were mixed race people. But Jesus decides that he's going to take the shortcut. Normally, the Jews would go around town. They would detour, and they would go around town. But Jesus decides he's going to go straight the shortest distance between Judea and Galilee. So he goes through Samaria. It's sort of like whether we're on the parkway or we're on the turnpike and we're going to South Jersey or wherever, and we decide we're going to take the local route. Look at somebody and say, he took the local route. He decides he's going to go through Jersey City and Patterson and Hackensack, and he's going to go through the local. And while he's going through, he goes to the well, the gathering places where people would gather to get water. And he shows up around, it says, the sixth hour in the middle of the day, and he meets this woman there. The Bible doesn't say what the woman's name was, but we know she was a Samaritan. And so, how many of you know sometimes one meeting can be a defining moment for your life? Either way it goes, you can have a negative, you can meet some guy or some woman and you can spend some time with him and he can mess up your life forever. Am I right about it? On the other hand, you can also meet somebody that's a blessing to you, and it can define your life forever. And this was one of those cases. This woman had already met six men that messed her up. You've been married five times. I think by the fifth time, you ought to quit. I think you ought to quit long before that. But this sister, I don't know what her name was, but she's at the well, and just by chance on this particular day, I can imagine it was hot and she's dragging herself, and it was a woman's job to go get the water, and she's got to go out there in the middle of the day to get water, and it's hot and she's probably disgusting, and here this guy is sitting on the well and asking her for a drink. If it'd been my wife, I know what she would have said. What's wrong with your hands? Don't you know I done walked all the way from the village out here to the well, and I got to get water to take back home, and you sitting here talking about, give me a drink. You better get yourself together. But fortunately, this woman did not say that. Jesus says, give me a drink. But the woman did say, how is it that you, a Jew, would ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? Because first of all, men did not talk to women in public. And then second of all, a Jew would not have a conversation with a Samaritan. So Jesus had broken two rules. He talked to a woman at the well, and then he's a Jew talking to a Samaritan. But anyway, they carry on the conversation. And Jesus says to her, if you knew who I was. It's like Barack Obama showing up and you don't know who he is, and he asking you for a drink and you said, get it yourself. And so Jesus says, if you knew who I was and the gift of God, you'd be asking me for a drink. So they continue in the conversation. And so Jesus begins to talk to the woman, and he says, the woman starts telling him, he said, go get your husband. Jesus talks about, the woman said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. How are you going to give me some living water? And he says, then the woman asked him, are you greater than our father Jacob? Jesus answered, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of this living water will never thirst. The woman says, and I can imagine, I believe this woman was on a different page initially, because she knew that she'd been coming to this well for a long time. She had to walk that long distance to get that water. And Jesus said, listen, I can give you some living water, and you never thirst again. The woman said, give me some. I'm tired of walking. She didn't say that, but I believe she was saying, I'm tired of the sun. I'm tired of the dust. I want some of that water. Jesus says, before you get this water, Jesus says, go get your husband. How many of you know Jesus already know about your mess? We think we're hiding something from Jesus.
He already knows about, you know, I seen guys with big old crosses on doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Crosses, not only are they big crosses, they gold and got diamonds on them. And they're committing some of the most hideous sins in the world. It's almost like bragging with Jesus around your neck. Point is, Jesus says to this woman, I can give you living waters. And you know, many of us act like Jesus don't know what we're doing. But Jesus says to the woman, go get your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. But you had five. And the one you got now, you're just shacking with. He didn't use the word shacking, but I thought I'd put it in a language that you could understand. The woman came to get some water, but she got a free grace card. Jesus said, I know you've been thirsting for satisfaction in the wrong place. You married five guys trying to find satisfaction, trying to find happiness, trying to find peace. But you missed it every single time. How many know that we are just like that woman from Samaria? We are thirsting for satisfaction as well. And we look for happiness very often in the wrong places. We look for happiness in power. Just have some power. I can just tell somebody what to do. I can just tell them to go, and I can just tell them to come when I say come. You better do what I say. You think you find happiness. But we know that can't be true, because if that was the case, everybody in Washington would be satisfied. Yeah. We know they're not satisfied. Then some of us think, well, you know, if I could, you know, it's not so much satisfied, but if I could just be popular, if I could just be popular, if everybody knew my name, if all the girls knew me and all the guys knew, if I could just be popular, I would be satisfied. Well, you know, that's not true, because if that were the case, Hollywood would be satisfied. We think, well, it's not popular, but if I could just have sex with this one, sex with that one, oh, if I could just, you know, if I could just be with her, if I could just be with him, oh, I'd be happy, I'd be satisfied. We know that's not true. Because Elizabeth Taylor died. She had five, how many husbands? She's just like they always say. You know, when people say, well, you know, preachers stand up and say, well, I'm going to do you like Elizabeth Taylor did her eighth husband. I won't keep you long. We think that privilege, we think that possessions can make us happy. If I could just drink from the well of possessions, if I could just have a new coat, a new car, a new whatever it is, if I could just have more money in the bank, if I could just find a job that I made $100,000 or $200,000, I'd be happy. There are people here who got nice cars and nice diamonds and nice jewelry, make $100,000 and $200,000, and they've come to find out that happiness and satisfaction is not in possessions. Our soul thirsts for something more. We are here. The reason we are just like that woman at the well. We came looking for something today. Our souls are thirsty and we want to drink. And it's not enough to drink in church. We need to make contact with the living Christ. It's not enough to come in and hear the choir as good as they were today. You can go out of here after hearing them sing just as messed up as you were when you came in. We need contact with Christ. All that I do, all that they do, all that the deacons do, all of us do, is to point people to the living Christ. Because Christ can change our lives. So the woman, Jesus says, go call your husband. And if you want living water, get this. The first thing you've got to do is you've got to be honest about your mess. I'm not telling you, you got to come and confess it to me. I'm not telling you, you got to come and confess it to the deacons. But I am telling you, if you want your life to be changed, you got to deal with your past. And you got to be honest about who you are and how you messed up big time. Because all we want to do is cover up our mess. Richard Nixon wasn't the only one who tried to cover up. Watergate is still around. We are all sinners. And we've all, look at somebody and just help me preach this. Just say, all. Usually in church, we always think they're talking to somebody else. You go ahead and preach, Reverend. Yeah, they are just like that. All have fallen short. This woman, Jesus talked to her. And notice, she said, yes, Jesus, I have 5 husbands. She was honest. And the one I got now, I'm shacking with. You caught me. But she didn't try to make any excuses. She didn't. And a part of receiving this living water, this life-sustaining, this renewing water, this resurrecting water, this life-giving water, is to be honest with God. That's the first part. Look at the second part. I like this part. How many of you know sometimes it's hard to be honest? It's hard, you know. Sometimes we lie so much we forget the truth. But look at this. The woman was honest. She said, yes. Before I move on, let me just, because you know, we think, sometimes in church we think that the only sin we can think about is somebody else's sin. And that's, if it's not on our doorstep, we think that we're goody-goody two-shoes. I know people sitting here, yeah, Rabbi, you tell them, hey, it's a shame. She had 5 husbands, and now she's shacking with the 6th guy. I just think that's a shame. But I want you to know something. You ain't no different, and I'm no different than she was. We might not have 6 husbands or 6 wives. Maybe we had 2 or 3 or 3.5. Or maybe a half. What I'm trying to get you to see is this, that you and I, just like that woman, we need the living water. It might not be your sin, but you got one and I've got one. And we need the living water. We need the life-sustaining water. We need the renewing water. We need the resurrecting water. We need the powerful water. We need the changing water. And I want you to know that when you make contact with Christ, He can change your life. Yeah, you made a mistake in the past. Who hasn't? But God is able to pick you up, turn you around, and give you new life and new power and new energy. Give God some praise that He's able to change us from the utmost. Jesus saved. He'll pick you up, turn you around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said. So this woman, she was surprised. She'd been to that well a million times. I hope God surprises somebody today. Right, they've been to church a thousand times. They heard me preach a thousand times. And they say, oh, geez, I got to listen to Jackson again. But I hope today God shows up and changes your life. I hope God can even use me today to pick you up and get you out of your mess and stand you on your feet and say, I love you in spite of your yesterday. I hope today Jesus shows up and changes you.
This woman, she says, yeah, Jesus, yeah. These five husbands. First one was cute, but he was no good. Second one was rich. He was no good. Third one, I was just lonely. The fourth one, I certainly thought I had it right. The fifth one, I don't even know. The sixth time, I decided I ain't gonna marry. I'm just gonna shack. Notice what Jesus did not do. He did not condemn the woman.
Even though he knew all about it, even though she confessed it, you know how we would have been. You know that woman probably could not have gone to the synagogue. She could not have gone to the temple because they would have nailed her sins on the wall. They would have called her a slut. They would have called her everything but a child of God. But Jesus gave her the grace card and said, I forgive you. I died for your sins. I thank you, God, for grace.
Somebody will make contact with Jesus. How many of you know that everything changes? I mean, we come to church and we shake everybody's hand. We say, oh, it's good to see you, Rev. Good to see you, or whatever. We come and say, hello, Deacon. Hello, Deaconess. And we go out of here just as messed up. But when you shown up, meet Jesus. I mean, look at somebody say, I mean, shown up. That's South Carolina talking. When you shown up. I guess I could correct it up here and up north. When you sure enough meets Jesus, what a wonderful change has been wrought in my life since Jesus came into my heart.
This woman,
Jesus, even though he knew her stuff, he didn't condemn her. That's why we say in the covenant, you know, you're not supposed to go around telling everybody it's dirt, even though you know it. Deacon McCall used to say, you know, everybody got a skeleton in their closet, and somebody's got the key. Just because you know something don't mean you got to go blab it out. Because somebody knows something about you, too. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad the closet's still locked. But God knows. The woman said, sir, give me some of this water. He says, go call your husband. The woman answered. The woman said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. When you and I meet Jesus, it's good to experience grace. But once you experience grace, you got to go tell somebody.
I mean, here this woman is. She says, oh, I can imagine. I can imagine how she must have felt. Here I am in the presence of divinity. I know he's going to lower the boom on me. I know I'm hellbound right now. He knows all about my motives. He knows why I married husband 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He knows everything. I know he's going to lower the boom on me. And Jesus looks at her and gives her compassion. And gives her She's not used to. She's like some of us. We've been going to church a long time. A lot of times we don't get no grace in church. Sometimes we catch more hell in church than we do in the world. But this woman experienced. She ran back home to tell folks, I met a man. You know, most of the time when women, I imagine, when you go talk about I met a man, it ain't about his grace. But this woman went back out. Hey, I met a man. He knows all about my past. He told me all my business. Said I've been married 5 times. I never met this guy. And he offered me grace. He offered me mercy. He offered me forgiveness. Come, come, come and see this man named Jesus that changed my life. Can you just imagine what that crowd must have been? First of all, she'd been married 5 times, 6 times. I doubt she had the town's officials in her crowd. I bet you there was a bunch of like-minded sisters and brothers in her crowd. People that she could speak to. And she told him, come and see a man. And I don't know what she said. I don't know how she acted. Maybe her, how many of you know, sometimes when you meet Jesus, your countenance changed. And maybe her dress changed. I don't know. I don't know how long it was before she got back. Maybe when she was at, I don't know what she looked like. Let me just put it that way. Because I was getting ready to go too far. I caught myself in the name of Jesus. But the woman talked to this crowd and she brought them all back saying, you got to meet this man who knows all about me and he gave me the grace card and did not condemn me for my past and I want you to meet him. And they came and they listened to him and they said, first we came to hear him because you invited us, but he's so good we stayed because he's ministered to our lives and we are changed too and we're not going to do what we used to do as well. So the church. Church this morning is about offering living waters. I have no money to give to you. I have no possessions to offer you. I have no popularity to offer to you. I have no power to offer to you. What I'm telling you is it's time to stop drinking death water. It's time to stop drinking out of stagnant pools. Sometimes we don't drink out of stagnant pool. How many of you know sugar water is not as good as the real water? You know, now they got this water they sell you. It looks like water, but it just tastes sweet. Gatorade and every other kind of aid. Look at somebody and say, I need real water. Living water of Christ. Christ. This story about this young man who went to some town. He went to the guru, the main pastor in town. I don't know. Big church in town, the pastor. Let's just say he went to T.D. Jakes. Let's say he went to T.D. Jakes. He wanted to know, how do I find God? T.D. Jakes says, come on with me. Went out to the river. Man got in the river and T.D. Jakes got in the river. T.D. Jakes put his hand on top of the young man's hand and pressed his head under the water. He just kept it there. And the young man started fighting, trying to get up, and T.D. just kept his hand and pushed it down a little deeper. Kept struggling and fighting. Finally, T.D. Jakes raised his hand and the young man came up trying to get his breath. Said, why did you do that? Dr. Jakes. No, he probably didn't say Dr. Jakes. He said, when you seek God like you seek air, you'll find him. Yeah. Too many of us are playing with God. We are playing with religion. We are really not seeking God. We're just seeking a spiritual Novocaine for our stuff so that we can keep on doing our mess and living in the past. Jesus wants to set us free and give us new life and change our lives and change our situation and give us joy and give us peace. It's time to stop playing. Stop playing. And when we really show up, seek God, we'll find him. Amen.